Hey, y'all, welcome back to Erase the State. Maddie K here. We are yet again this week, as you are aware and used to by now, flying solo. There is no Mikey Two Names, but please, if you follow him on Twitter, go do that. Or if you don't follow him on Twitter, go do that. And if you do, or once you do, please tell him congratulations, because he is now the father of a bouncing baby boy. Yeah, I'm proud for him. It's the first one, so congratulations, Mikey Two Names. But tonight, we do have crowd favorite and one of my favorites, fellow Childerberger, Theodore from the Crowdfunded Government. How are you, man?
Maddie K, it's all gravy, man. How's it going?
It's going. We're living in a real world, but it's going.
The people can't see this at home, but Maddie is sipping on a delicious looking dark wine and is just, it is like energizing you. When you saw you take that sip, it's like you got a golden halo around you now, man. Yeah, I am ready to roll after watching that.
Good. Well, I'm ready to roll. I'm one glass in and I got a belly full of spaghetti.
Okay.
Let's do this shit, man. So, it's been a while. We've had a second.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I missed the second Childerberg because of the work, and a major corporation would have had a problem with me traveling during the Illinois was under severe lockdown conditions right when it was happening, and it didn't get open until like 2 weeks after. I'm like, oh my God, what terrible timing. So my absence at Childerberg was not a political statement or some kind of a statement like, ask any of my best friends in real life. I was counting down the days to Childerberg in January. I was literally counting it down. And then I stopped counting in February because it was getting real. And I was like thinking to myself, the one thing that is going to make my year is not going to happen. And then time and time and time came and went. So just so everybody's aware, I meant no hate or shade by not showing up. And I will be before, during, and after at 3. I will be like, which by the way, I can't do
tree.
It. I wish Jacob hadn't tree. Chosen the name. Not doing it.
Tree.
I can't do it, man. I'm sorry. It's 3. I don't have that. I don't have that consonant in my mouth.
There you go.
I can't do that. So it's 3. I'm sorry. So 3, I will be the first one there. I'll be the last one to leave. Nice. I'll bring the beer. You know what I mean? I will be making up for my absence because there was supposed to be a sacrifice and I'm still alive. So I'm not happy.
Jesus. Well, we're holding you to it. I'll help you unload the cases from the car. I went this year, but I did not make it as long as I hoped I would. Just scheduling conflicts and whatnot. I do remember a lot more of it though, compared to the first one. So it's
but
almost
that,
like,
see, the thing is you are the story of one. Like,
that's
you
absolutely correct.
You dying and reviving within the course of 30 minutes from the deadest man I've ever met to a stone sober driving instructor.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is I remember that in, you know, fits and starts. Like there's very little information that's in my brain from that night. So hearing the podcasts afterwards that came out, like some of the ones that were recorded there, two of my best memories were actually, so the first story that I heard the next morning, there's always a morning after story. I wish there were a pill. So, you know, I feel great because I had, I guess, drank all of Mason's Pedialyte. So I felt stellar. I was like 9 of 10 that morning.
Good move.
Yeah.
I veteran really move. Good.
And they were telling me that, what's his name? The doctor that was there, is it Thomas?
Oh, that's right. You know what? I actually went on the wine van with him last year, I'm pretty sure. I think you're right. I can't remember his name. There was a Dr. Nick.
There's Dr. Nick, and there's also a Thomas who's now like in Salt Lake or something like that.
I might be mixing up the two. I apologize.
Well,
I apologize
there's two of them there. To the good so doctors. I remember they were telling me that, you know, I was passed out. Like I was completely blacked out and passed out in a chair, like kind of slumped over a little bit. And everybody's having this deep conversation around me. And someone leans over and goes, "Hey man, you're a doctor. Is he okay?" And like I snap to and immediately jump in the conversation and make sense. And he goes, "He seems all right."
And then, wow. So I wonder if that's like one of those things that your brain hears, and basically you had like a fight or flight, which is basically, right. I have a medical thing. I need to fix my body really quick. Right, my body just immediately decided. Yeah.
It pushed the big red button and said, turn on, you motherfucker. Like you need to act right for a second. And then
but here's
I was
the thing.
Listening.
People over exaggerate about stories. You know what I mean? It's like, there's always the big fish story and that kind of crap. This is no big fish story. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, I was there. It was a goddamn miracle of what I witnessed.
So
sorry, I apologize. I just want to let the listeners know that there is no BS between us. I'm not like, oh, puffing up Medi K, the toughest guy in the, you know, PA. No, seriously, this was awesome.
So the second story, it came out a little while after Childerberg, but I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Rollins Slappy or Tasting Anarchy or I don't know. I don't know who it was. Peaceful Treason, Rebel of the Cause. One of them released, you know, one of the giant swap casts that was going on. And in the background, I think they had made mention of me, like, you know, drunkenly walking around. And then all of a sudden, Jacob comes in and goes, oh, fuck, Maddie said something about having to put his pants on. We better go get him before we get in trouble. Like, and then, like, they immediately ended the show. And I was like, I went around. I was just texting everybody, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't remember that. But, like, I hope everything was okay. Like, yeah, you were fine. Like, okay, good. So
yeah, the crazy part was I came in at the very end of it because I was on the wine van. So missed out on all the swap casting and all of the pantsless, I guess.
I was also on the wine van.
What's that?
I was also on the wine van.
Wait, you were on the wine van?
I was on the wine van. I was in the back.
Wait a second. Yep. You're telling me the story is there's no way that you were on
on the wine van.
Last time.
Yeah. Here. We can edit some of the silence out because I can tell that you're shocked and awed right now.
I want to go find that picture that that was posted by, I think it was probably Nico who posted it.
Okay. Here, this is very blurry, but look there. No, is that? Yeah, that's you. Yeah, that's you. So there's.
Yeah, I got the light blue shirt.
Next to our friend.
Yeah.
From, I don't know if you can see that or not. I'm trying to look in my thing. Next to our friend from Oklahoma, from Rough Tail Brewing. And look, there's me in the jeans and the boots right there. That's me.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that a part of the story, because the story that I tell is the only reason that I wasn't you is because on the wine van, I had to moderate my drinking.
I did moderate my drinking. But look, and here's another picture. Look, this is me and you sitting across from each other at a table.
Get the fuck out of here.
So you were pretty fucked up too, sir.
Oh, my God. All right, well, Maddie, in that case, I have to revise my version of the story because I was like, if only Maddie would have come on the wine van, he would have slowed down with us because they only gave you like a quarter of a glass at a time, so you couldn't do any damage, you know what I mean? And
the thing is, I didn't really start. Like, I had a little bit, like, before we left, right? Like, just a little bit. Like, I had some coffee or whatever probably and then, like, just a little nip, you know? And
yeah, me too.
Then when we got back, I had a few small cups. I've told this story several times on the podcast, so I apologize to all the listeners.
I would love to hear it again. Every Maddie K story, please do it.
So I was using this old coffee cup, and I think it was from Bucky's, as a drinking cup. I was like, well, that's, you know, I'm not gonna throw it away. That's a perfect size to moderate my alcohol consumption because
I 44 ounce big foam 44 ounce
handle of Evan Williams because I drink the cheap shit. So I didn't want to like polish off the entire thing in a night because that's not a good idea. I got close. So I had a few pours, you know, and I was putting some ice in there. So it's kind of watered down. I was taking up some space and a little bit of liquor. And I remember once everybody kind of started rolling in, like other people who were not there yet and more people were coming. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pour another drink. So I fill it up with ice and I poured like, you know, a third of that coffee cup. And it's like a 20 ounce coffee cup full of ice to the top, but like a third full of that with liquor. Right. And I remember thinking to myself, like I stopped the pour and I go, I don't want to come back and re-pour. So I just like up to the top, right? And that's the last thing I remember. Yeah. I do remember being in the water. I remember it being nighttime and I was sitting in a chair and I think Dino was there. Yeah, that's about it. I remember walking to the truck to go to sleep and I remember waking up. That's about it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And then apparently, even though I don't remember, there's photographic evidence that we sat across the table from each other for had to be an hour and a half.
That's right.
So listen, I don't know whose memories to believe of this whole Childeberg thing. Hey, listen, Childeberg, it's not a cult and you won't remember a damn thing.
That's right. That's right. That's the best ad we could possibly put out for it.
That's a fact. So, all right. So I am very excited about 3. I hope we can have some type of camaraderie, good stories. Very much looking forward to it because the people, like, as soon as I did Childeberg, I did like 10 podcasts in the next month. Like, I networked, I met a bunch of people I knew, but I never actually had known.
Right.
Like, you know, I saw them around on Twitter, but I never actually said, hey, what's up, you know? So incredible networking opportunity for anybody who's just like, it wants to see that you're not the only crazy person in the room. We got 40 of them.
Agreed.
Oh, so really quick, the coolest thing that I heard about, and then I'll drop it because we're talking about Childeberg stuff months after it happened, but I got to jump back in really quick on one, which is the on Dose, which I didn't go to. I was told that there were, this coolest part of the story is that a bunch of people, at least several people, showed up and nobody knew who they were. They were just literally people who saw it on Twitter and just wanted to come hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know. Awesome. Like,
that is like the dream of like the Liberty Woodstock, right?
Right, absolutely. So there's like, what's her name is like Raging Bull Dyke or whatever. Like she came and she was like, hey, this is who I am. And we're like, oh yeah. Like we know who you are. But like there were a couple of folks that rolled in and more after I left who were just like, yeah, we saw it on Twitter or whatever. And like one of the guys came and he was like, he was in some, you know, like a libertarian group in Austin, but I don't think they're still like LP related, but he was like, yeah, somehow we, you know, one of the members heard about it and told me about it. And more of us kind of looked into it and I decided what the fuck, like I'll come out, you know, what I don't have anything going on today. So let's go. But yeah, that's what you want, right? Like we're trying to grow the movement. So what way to grow the Liberty movement by showing people that were like, we're fun and we're not just stuffy.
Yeah. So everybody that was there at one, we all kind of knew each other, and really, you're not really changing the movement. But the idea of people coming into the flock and then realizing there's this really cool network of people, and then obviously from there, the sky's the limit. So that's the dream that I have, and I don't know if it's going to be 3, 4, 5, 6, but 1 year, it's going to be like 20,000 people just fucking show up, and Jacob is going to be like, oh my fucking God, and we're just going to run the whole lake. Like the whole lake is going to be like a... Yeah, hey, listen, as you know, I love being optimistic and having big dreams. So that's my dream for Childeberg is that there is 1 year where it is completely out of control and it is the greatest, you know, this convergence of the sharpest minds on the internet. I can't wait. Man. So I'm very optimistic. I'm going to stay optimistic.
So Childeberg stuff out of the way. What?
Yes.
What have you been up to, man? It's been, God, almost a year probably since we talked the last time. So what's going on?
All right. So crowdfunded government it's all the same. All right. I'm still pushing the idea that we should voluntarily crowdfund government without taxation. It's been very successful. It seems every month more and more people are tagging me. More and more people are retweeting me, engaging. There's a lot of like positive momentum. I'm really excited. And I was kind of talking it over about a week ago with my friends that I was having a real problem, which is I'm doing a lot of talking, but I'm not doing a lot of doing. Mm-hmm. And there's – what can I do about that? So I kind of racked my brain, and I realized I have some very controversial opinions that could not only help me, help America, help the human race. I have an idea that I would like to discuss further if you're willing to go down the rabbit hole with me.
There's nothing I like more than a good rabbit hole, as you well know. So,
well, pull me out if I go too far into this one, because this is kind of out in the weeds. But the first thing is I've already aware that I'm pretty sure in our communications, you don't do party affiliation. you are definitely like, you're not a,
I mean, so I did join the LP this year. I did plan to be involved with the convention. And then once that, you know, took a shit, then I just kind of said, fuck it. Whatever happens, happens. I was honestly thinking about trying to like do the whole online vote thing and, you know, still be involved as a delegate, but I didn't put in all the legwork that I needed to locally to get that done. And it was just, it was a heavy lift at that point. So,
I'm just remembering. I thought you were like a hardcore, like anti-party sort of guy.
I'm very anti-party. The only thing that I wanted to do is because I believe that the Mises Caucus of the LP has a great message. So, and the Prags do too. The Pragmatist Caucus or whatever, coalition, whatever the fuck they call themselves. They do as well, but, and the Radicals and all that. I'm not involved with the Mises stuff, but I do lurk on all the Facebook groups and that bullshit. So I did want to join to try and help Joshua Smith get the chair, and I wanted to help Jacob Hornberger get the nomination. That was the sole reason I joined. I think Jacob's message is strong. Joe's is a little less strong, but she's a much better candidate than the LP put out the last election cycle. You know, Joshua Smith lost again to basically another Sarwark, but I don't get too into party politics, but this is just the surface level bullshit. But at any rate, like that's why I joined. I have no real, you know, affiliation with the party other than that. So I've got the card tucked away in a desk somewhere.
I'm not re-upping. This conversation may go an interesting direction then, because I thought we were going to be having a slightly different one. So,
no, that's okay. But to get back to the point, though, by and large, yes, I am extremely anti-party. I think it brings out the worst in people's politics, and it's more damaging for the discourse than anything else. So there you go.
Okay. All right. So now that I kind of got the base set, the final question before I really jump in here. Do you think on average, because you and I know a lot of libertarians specifically, but overall it's a third party question. Basically, on average, do you think your average third party member is more or less informed, more or less politically intelligent than your typical red blue party member?
I wholeheartedly believe that they're more informed.
Yes, I agree. It was not a trick question, even though it sounded like I was going to set you up for a gotcha. I believe that anybody who takes the time to move past the red-blue paradigm, enter into a third party, learn about why they don't believe in either of the two parties, and then advocate for it, clearly is an intelligent political individual. Whether it's Green Party and it's complete, you know, something you don't like, Reform Party, something you don't understand, Constitution Party, what are you talking about? Libertarian Party, naked guy across the stage, right? Yep. All of these different There are all of these different people who ultimately are extremely smart and intelligent and have a lot to offer, but are in third parties. Mm-hmm. So, Matty K, we're getting somewhere, okay? We're just establishing some common ground real quick.
I think I have an idea where this is going. You know, I like it, but I'm going to let you go.
I don't know if you do, because that might be where you're just going to cut it at the Childerberg talk and then say, you know, episode 62, you know, Theodore talks Childerberg, right? And then, like, I don't get into this conversation because it gets a little hairy. So, I am an apolitical, non-political individual. The argument that I've made is I believe crowdfunded government succeeds the best by being content political neutral. Basically, I don't care what, like, the classic example, well, what if the Nazis want to set up the extermination camps? I'm like, well, if the Nazis got voted in and they got the money voluntarily paid to them, who am I to tell people what to do with their life and their money, right? I would morally disagree, but a crowdfunded government has no morals. It's the only moral that I back up is it's immoral to steal somebody's money without their permission, right? So that has been my opinion. However, I'm starting to change. I believe that I have my first political opinion at crowdfunded government to issue to you.
Well, I am extremely excited to hear about this.
I just like prepping all my big decisions with like these moments of tension. I'm imagining the listener like hitting the fast forward, like the fast forward 5 seconds button. Like, come on, dude, get to it. You know, I love it. So my opinion is that there is a big problem in the political system, and the problem is actually the third parties.
Okay.
The third parties contain incredibly smart people who spend thousands of tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands an hour or a year collectively of all of their time to try to move forward something that is rigged. All right. Politics in the United States is rigged.
Sure.
In order to get ballot access, you have to have a certain blah, blah, blah. In order to get on the debate stage, you have to have a certain blah, blah, blah. The debates are hosted by the parties, so they rig the rules every year to make sure that there's not another Ross Perot, because he almost broke the mold. He right. almost did it, which they thought was impossible. He almost did it. So it's rigged as hell. And I do not understand what the hell we are doing in third-party politics, because out of all elected offices, Medicaid, and I don't have the answer, I'll just take your opinion because I have an opinion too. Let's say you have all the elected offices in the country. What percentage of those, if they're partisan, like I'm not talking about like judge elections, right? I'm talking about like if they are partisan elections in which you declare a party, what percentage of those are won by Republicans and Democrats, roughly speaking?
Oh, I've got to think it's greater than 98%.
I mean, the number that I think of is 99 point something.
That's probably probably
that crazy. It's probably like literally 991 out of 1,000 political positions are manned by either a blue or a red.
I would think so.
So now let me put all the pieces of my argument together now that I've sort of established where my logic is coming from. We have an extremely motivated group of people who engage in Green Party, Reform Party, Libertarian. They're smart. They're driven. They are donating money. They're donating time. And they're spending their time doing what they think is best, which is spreading the message that their party spreads that the major political parties don't spread. And I argue that they are all wasting their time, and I am dedicating myself, starting now, to end all third-party politics by the end of the third quarter, because I believe that this is a scourge on the nation. These people deserve better, and somebody needs to slap some sense into them and say, you should be debating on a stage against real politicians, not a bunch of people who aren't going to be politicians. Like, they have debates of people who are not, none of them are going to be elected. So
right.
It's pretend politics. It's ridiculous the amount of money and time these people are wasting. And again, I think the vast majority of them are extremely intelligent, articulate, and have incredible ideas for this country to fix a lot of the problems that you and I talk about every day on podcasts and on Twitter, right? We know what the problems are, and there are people who have the solutions. But the problem is the people who have the best solutions are being moved into these movements that have no power. And politics without power is worthless. There's no point in having an idea if you have no ability to execute it, which also sort of ties into my problem with crowdfunded government, which we'll get to at the end of this. So my goal is to end third-party politics because I don't believe that we are using the resources of those people. What do I propose instead? Maddie K, I have a thought experiment if you'll give me 60 seconds.
Please.
Okay, I know, because I sometimes I drone on a bit, and I want to make sure that completely.
This is great for me because my guests always have better content than I can ever bring. So, like, just let her rip, dude. You're fine.
Nobody's got that smooth baritone voice though, so I can't take everything that you got, brother. I'll try for some entertainment value here. So, a thought experiment. Let's say you can go back in time to 2010. I have the ability to take all third parties and immediately disband them, with the instructions that all members must join either red or blue team. I don't care which. Doesn't actually matter if you look at the Coke and Pepsi. It's like, what's the real difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? It's like, not really anything, sure, actually. Sure. That's right. So if in 2010, the instructions were given to all third party members, there is no longer a third party. There are only two parties. You must go join one of the two parties. And if you were going to run in a third party, I need you to run as locally as possible. immediately. Start out as dog catcher, county commissioner. You know, there's so many silly elected positions that when you have a small government, you have like these bare bones sort of jobs in government.
Right.
If all of those people did that, my question to you, Matt, in 2020, would we be ready to consider a national run of some of these people? If they would have 10 years to cut their chops in local and state government, building up their beliefs, but remember, holding a blue or red flag. So basically, it's similar to like the Liberty Caucus of the Republicans whatever they have on the blue side. I'm sure they have something similar for people who, I don't know, the ACLU wing or whatever. I don't know. But people who care about sort of the social issues in the way that libertarians do. I don't know. I'm not the expert on party politics. I'm just here to give an opinion that, in my opinion, the world would be a better place in 2020 because we would have local politicians using the ideas of these third parties, many of which are really good, and they would be able to implement them slowly. They'd be able to get their voice out there on a debate stage. They'd be able to move the Overton window because they're actually a mayor. They're actually the majority of a city council. You would finally see things happening. So this is why I believe the world would be a better place if we got rid of third parties, because there's way too much political capital being burned in this country, and I can't stand anymore to watch these very intelligent people fart around. I'm glad you brought up that joke of a convention, because all those hours, can you imagine if all those people spent that in their local meetups and conventions and local Republican deal and, you know, the Democrats business dinner thing, whatever. If you would have spent that time trying to move forward politically in a major political party, you might have to hold your nose a lot, right? Because politics is the art of compromise.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you got to hold your nose a lot. Yeah, you might be asked to vote down the party line for something you truly don't believe in. But which is worse, occasionally voting for something you don't believe in or not having the ability to vote at all because you're not a politician? Your vote doesn't matter to the political process.
So I'm a cynic, and
please,
I don't think that the Team Red or Team Blue party politics would allow those types of ideas to raise to the top.
Ron Paul
on a national stage. But the difference with Ron Paul, though, is
national stage preaching. He almost preached straight libertarianism,
right?
Almost straight up. Like, you could have done that in front of Vermin Supreme, and Vermin Supreme would have said, well, that's a pretty good argument, isn't it?
But the difference there is that he had been there in Lake Jackson, which is a very small town, and he pretty much just represented Lake Jackson as a congressman, just the way the land works out in that part of Texas, just an hour, 2 hours mm-hmm. south of Houston here. It's just... And everybody knew him. Like he was everybody's doctor, right? Like he birthed.
Go for this as soon as possible.
Right, but he birthed all the babies. Like, so everybody knew who he was. It's like, it's like Uncle Ron down the street. Like we know him. So, but I mean, like take Austin Peterson, for example. And this is probably a really bad example because he started from the top and kind of had to work his way down. So, you know, he runs for president as a libertarian. In the Libertarian Party, does not make the ticket, loses to Kerry Johnson, who's wildly popular because he's been a governor and all this, right? Yep. Marketing was good years back. So Austin loses that, and he decides he's going to run for Senate. I remember him reaching out, and I was still kind of like during the transition at this time too, but I remember him reaching out and like on Twitter, and it was like, hey, you know, DM me, whatever, give me your number. Like, I'll call you. I'm just asking people like to have ideas about like what I should do. Right. I've got news coming up and like, you know, I want to bounce it off. He's like, whatever. Fuck it. Here's my number. He's not going to call me. So he calls me and he's like, hey, I'm running for Senate in Missouri. But I have a question to ask you. It's a really big question. Will you support me? Sure. If I can, whatever, however I can, I think I send like $20. B, where do you think I should run? Should I run as a libertarian and stay true to libertarian principles and be in the party, right? Or Should I run as a Republican and try and win that nomination and make sure that you get all the people who are just like, fuck it, I'm voting red. I don't know who this dude is, but you know, I've always been a Republican, right? So I'm going to vote Republican. Yeah. And I told him, you know, just strategically, I think it's wise that you, if you're really just trying to win, and I think, you know, he and I differ now just based on where I am versus where he still is, I think, and has been for a while. You know, I'm definitely like, I've taken the dive off the cliff into full blown anarchy, and he's still, I guess, libertarian, whatever. That's fine. He's a statist like you. That's, you know, we don't burn all of you.
He just needed 6 months to come around.
That's right. So, but I told him, I said, you know, strategically, I think it's wise that you vote or that you run as a Republican. Wow. And again, you know, he loses to the quote unquote establishment candidate. And I think it's just, again, just me being a cynic, like it's damn near impossible, I think, for people who think the way that we think to make it very far. I mean, even somebody who's you know, let's say we have some LP member who's like, yeah, I believe the whole crowdfunded thing, it makes sense. You know, I still think we need a government, but, you know, it all needs to be voluntarily funded. It's a great idea. I'm going to go run for a party and like, oh, that's it. Third parties are gone unless you're local, like any national stage type shit. You gotta be in the one of the big parties, and they join. Uh-huh. I mean, do we not think that like campaigns and politicians get kickbacks based on like all this like taxation that goes on and like who's getting money and how they can direct it and all this shit? It's like, I don't think they would allow the cash flow to stop. Now, I don't disagree with your idea. I think it's great if we started. I don't see it as like trying to like, oh, change the party from the inside. I see it more as like infiltration. We need to infiltrate.
Yeah.
And destroy from within.
That's the right word. Yeah.
But I think it would be very, very difficult for someone unless they would have to be sort of like a double agent. You know what I mean? Like, like outwardly, like just full blown.
I mean,
like
here's my vision for it. But here's my vision. If you throw 100,000 people and try to do it, they're not all going to fail. Statistically, it's impossible.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, I agree with you. The majority of people are not going to break through with the establishment. That's why it's called the establishment.
Right.
But give it some time. Basically, win some dog catchers. They start a wing of the Democratic Party called the Liberty Democrats, and there's a Liberty Republicans,
sure.
And there's a Green Democrats and a Green Republicans, a Reform Republican, right? So each of these factions begins to build up a resume of successful local candidates. When state politicians are presented with winners, they're generally going to ask, how can we continue winning like this group here seems to be doing a great job of winning? So I think that's how you end up infiltrating and changing the Overton, moving the Overton window and changing the debates, changing the discussions, because you brought up a really good point. It's probably unlikely, very unlikely. You mean as unlikely as a libertarian ever having a meaningful elected office? Like, we got one, two, like, it's okay, we've been doing this for 50 years.
Yeah. So
when do you give up? Right, when do you flipped. Say, okay, the idea sucks?
So technically he's a libertarian, but he didn't win as a libertarian. Then we've got, you know, I guess Gwynn, what's his face? Kane. Well, like him, he's a fine guy, but you know, he's, you know, county, I don't know what they call him there. Here it's county judge. He runs whatever county in like Knoxville or whatever in Tennessee. It's like, that's cool. You know, it's like, you know, that's not affecting thing. And again, I don't want to think on the national, I even hate saying national because we're not a nation, but the national stage. Because I do, and maybe you are winning me back over. You know, I love you, Theodore. Because I do think that all of this action that we think we need to take, when we start putting solutions to problems, right? All of it needs to happen on the local level. We need to go from it has to be from bottom to top, not top down, right? So maybe it is a good idea that we try and infiltrate, and maybe you do, like, you hold some shit back, you know? Like, I definitely wouldn't go out and, you know, start talking about how we got like fuck the police and all that shit. Like, that wouldn't be my campaign song if I was running for mayor. But I might think that.
No, but you know? In your example, you should kiss a few babies. That's and right. You should talk about some changes you'd like to see to the local police department. And sure. You don't have to be radical. You can just say, like, I would like to see more social workers used instead of people with guns to go deal with domestic disputes, because those sure. seem to always end terribly, right?
Sure.
And that's actually a mainstream opinion that you're actually hearing from both left and right. That's actually becoming a mainstream idea. So, yeah, you wouldn't go in there with the whole shebang. I think you'd be unelectable to say it. And as soon as I take power, taxes are out. We're going to crowdfund everything. The only laws that are going to be if they violate the NAP, right? So this is where you get into this whole pragmatic approach, and that's really what I've always focused on. And I know pragmatists and anarchists really butt heads because pragmatism yeah. is a slow march to tyranny, right?
It is. And they get a bad rap, but I try and be relative. I think a lot of what we do is pragmatism. We just have a different conclusion than they do. You know what I mean?
Well, that's one way of putting it. So this is my big idea that I present to you, Maddie K, and it has a twist that could involve you if you would like to help.
Ooh, well, I like to help. I'm a helper. So tell me what you'd like from me.
Here's the easy part, dude. Maddie, I don't need money from you. I don't need anything from you. Here's what I want from people like you. So basically, I listen to about 25 podcasts, 25-ish every week. I don't miss, you know, because there's people who've invited me on their shows. I like the way they think, and I feel like I owe them something. So I want to give them a listen. You know, I feel like it's the most important thing I can do. Plus, obviously, if I went on somebody's podcast, I like them. I wouldn't go on a podcast sure. with somebody I hate. So, sure. Or if I did, I would never listen to that show again. Right. I'm like, okay, enough of this. I don't know why I would go talk to somebody I hate. That's kind of a weird thought. But because it's like that would be like adversarial, and my goal is to be like positive and spreading good messages, right?
Right.
Well, here's the adversarial part of Theodore coming out of the woodwork. So here's my idea. There are hundreds of podcasts, at least hundreds, probably thousands. If I actually expanded my range outside of just Liberty Twitter, I mean, if you go to that page of Liberty Podcast Ranker, dude, there's like a zillion.
Right.
There are a zillion hours every month of Liberty themed entertainment. And some of it is great, and some of it falls a little flat sometimes, because as you probably know better than I do, it's really hard to have consistent, you know, top of the mind, that really sharp stuff that really bends people's minds. Some weeks, you know, it's kind of just a review. It's kind of like, well, that's you right. know, here's some interesting things that have happened in my life. Here's what's going on, and hey, I'll catch you next week, right? Some weeks you just don't got the spark from God, but you certainly have, like, you know, something to say. Well, there's an opportunity as I see it, which is I have all these people who want content. I have me. I love doing content. We have an election season. Why don't I reach out to every podcast possible and ask them to invite people who are third-party politicians and let me talk to them for just 5 or 10 minutes out of your conversation? Because I have some very serious questions to ask. So questions such as, what do you think you're actually accomplishing? Do you think you would do more for your party or take exactly you and put you in the Republican Party? Why would you do more with what you're doing right now? I have a lot of tough – and what the hell happened at that – you know, just if I ever talk to a libertarian, it's like, what the heck are you guys doing at that convention? What do you think you're accomplishing there? Okay, you guys are playing house. It's like when my cousins are like, there's the husband and the wife, and the husband comes home, and they're like playing these like characters of the people they see on TV. Like, oh, we're the playing house. That's all we're doing with these political third party nonsense. We're playing politics. Politics is power, and if you don't have power, you're not doing anything but playing a game. So this is my idea to you. And my idea to anybody else interested, if you could reach out to other, if you're listening, reach out to other podcasts, propose this idea to them if I don't get a chance to reach out to them. If you find third-party candidates that would like to be on podcasts in their upcoming election cycle, and ask them if they would like to talk to a skeptic of third-party politics, just for a few minutes, you know, it won't be the whole interview, it just has a couple of quick questions. I think that's freaking gold entertainment, because either I'm wrong and somebody will explain to me that I'm wrong, or I think I'm going to end all third parties by the end of the third quarter if I keep this up. Because how can somebody answer those questions and then continue with what they're doing? I feel like people will have like an aha moment about a week after I talk to them. And they're like, dude, that theater guy, like, what am I doing? Right? But nobody asks them that. What are you doing? People just kind of, yeah, you're running for office. Sure. Right. That's the American way. No, right. Stop it. Choose a side, hold your nose, and go get power and bring that power back to the people. You can still accomplish really good things, even if you occasionally have to enforce or help out policies that you disagree with. You're accomplishing a lot more than sitting on a Skype call watching people run around naked on the stage in Orlando. So that's my idea that could involve you and Mikey, if you guys want, if you ever bump into any or if you know of anybody who wanted to be on. I think it would be gold.
Yeah, I'm down. Absolutely. I don't know anyone who's running third party. I mean, I just don't pay attention to it, but I guess we're looking around. I mean, like folks that, like some of the Facebook groups I'm in that related to the LP, like, you know, there's candidates in there. I can
see. That's the thing. It's not even just politicians, even people like the Liberty organizer, right?
Sure.
It's
sure.
Like, okay, you know, people like that, or, you know, you're talking about, you know, any friends that, you might know that have these groups and blah, blah, blah. Let me talk to the organizer. Like, just, hey, this guy thinks that, you know, there's better things you can do with your time. What a jerk. Let him talk to you. You know,
sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
I wouldn't be a jerk. I wouldn't be, you know, my goal wouldn't be to anger people. My goal would be to ask a legitimate question, which basically focuses around, what are you doing? Explain it to me like I'm 6 years old.
Right.
What do
right.
you think you're accomplishing?
I will commit to you. To look for someone. I can't guarantee that I'll find someone that will come on, but I will commit to look for someone to have this conversation with you. And I will put it out there. I know there are other podcasters who listen to the show. So if anyone knows anyone, you know, hey, get Theodore on and let's have this conversation, especially some of you that have bigger podcasts than I do, a little bit longer reach. You know, let's start the conversation. What the fuck do we care, right? Like, most of us are anarchists anyway. We don't give a shit. So, yeah, let's do it.
Wouldn't a lot of them enjoy watching the you know, the car accident slowly unfolding in front of them?
I think so, because I love a good car accident or a good train wreck, or a fat girl in a bikini. Yeah. You know, it's so I'd love to see that stuff happen in slow motion.
All right, so anyway, that's the big idea that I have. I'm just trying to think of ways that I can help society, and I think this would make a huge difference if I could convince very smart people to start directing their attention at the mainstream parties, infiltrating, taking control, creating your own caucus, which then becomes more popular than the mainstream caucus. Guess what? You just took over a mainstream party with a good idea.
Sure,
and you didn't have to fire a shot, and you didn't have to waste a minute in a rigged game that you're never going to win. You're never going to win as trying to run as reform, libertarian, green. I don't care. You're never going to win. Okay, every That's once right. in 20,000 will win.
Right.
Great. Okay, well, you're wasting your time. Because ideas don't change things. Power changes things. So
sure. This
is kind of like a Liberty podcast stimulus that I'm offering too. It's like, hey, if you want some interesting content, I'm sure that there's politicians that have to be poking around with some of these podcasts. Like, you know, you search Liberty podcast on Twitter. There's probably people who are just DMing a bunch of them saying, hey, I'm running for Libertarian Senate, and I would love to talk about what I want to do, right? So there can't be zero opportunities here.
I wonder, do you know the Lions Liberty guys? I do not. Well, I guess
I was on the flagship podcast with Mark.
Right,
I wasn't,
right.
wasn't on the cool one. Yeah, I wasn't on the cool one where they get drunk in the living room, which is okay, because I'm sort of more straight edge, you know, with my appearances. I'm not really that, like, wild,
sure.
you know.
So I would reach out to them, dude. Like,
I did. I mean, you guys believe that in the top 10, you were in the top 10 because I wanted to talk about Childerberg.
Well,
and then
that.
Mark Claire immediately. Yeah, he said he's looking at something next week. I would love to, because
that
his reach is mammoth.
Yeah, I think their reach is great, and they are definitely plugged in. I know that those guys kind of, like, locked in when it came to the LP stuff. They could probably set something up, you know. Like, I think that's your best bet of folks that we, like, sort of tangentially know to be able to hook something up for you. That would be a good shot and get a lot of ears involved.
I put out as many fishing lines as I could this week to see if I could get any bites. And so far, it's been great because everybody at least could agree it would be interesting. Not that it would make a difference. That's fine. If you disagree with the overall mission, that's actually fine. If you want entertainment, I think I'm going to deliver it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, and don't you love a bold? Don't you love a bold mission? By the way, whenever somebody says something crazy like, "You know what? I'm ending third parties by the end of the third quarter."
Yeah, yeah, I like it. I mean, either way, it's great, right? Like, if you fail, it's still great entertainment because you're going to go on and like make people question their beliefs, which is fun.
I'm just going to look like an idiot, which is fine. I might be an idiot. I'm always willing to change my opinions when I'm wrong.
Or you succeed, and at least get some people like you know, you might not end all third parties, but you'll get people like swapping. Maybe, I don't know. It's probably too late now to swap affiliations, but I mean, you know, next cycle, these guys are going to run again. There's midterms and shit, so you know.
Yeah, I would also tell them, hey, if you really want to do something good, take your stop raising funds and start promoting whichever politician that in your party that you want to take over next year. You know, start becoming friendly, start networking.
Right.
You don't have to throw mud. You're in their party. You can pretend to go along to get along while getting your name and your ideas out there tangentially.
Sure.
So that's the big idea.
I like the big idea. And like I said, I'm going to do my level best to try and get at least somebody, you know, looped into doing something.
All right. I have one more.
Sure.
If I may, because I'm getting a little long here. I appreciate you taking all the time with me, because I only said I wanted half an hour because I know this is kind of crowdfunded government again. You know, it's like, come on, man. You know,
oh, no.
It's a cut to the chase. So
I'm mad we haven't had you back on since the first time.
All right. So I have come to a conclusion on Twitter. I've been on for 5 years, and every day I wake up, there's people disputing crowdfunded government. They're quote tweeting me. They are tagging me. Some of them, like, you know, like I was saying, I love the fans and I love the supporters. And it's clearly there are more supporters than there were last year, than there were the year before that. Like, it's clearly growing exponentially, which I really am happy and thankful for. But I have come to a conclusion that I have won Twitter. So my arguments have not been disputed in 5 years. Every dispute that anybody's ever brought up, I have smashed logically by saying, here is your argument, here is my argument, here is my, you know, here is the facts that I'm building my argument on, here's my opinions that I'm using those facts, and here is my conclusion. And I feel like I'm logically destroying people. It's got to the point, Maddie, where I now truly believe, and I can say this with a straight face, that the earth is round, the sky is blue, grass is green, and voluntarily crowdfunding government is better than involuntarily taxing and threatening people to kill them. That's a fact.
I agree with three of those four statements, and you can decide which one I disagree with.
I know. I need to stop throwing in the earth one because it's too low hanging of a fruit. You know, it's a line, by the way. It's not even rounded. It's a straight line.
It is a line. Yeah, there's not even any appreciable thickness to it. So.
All right, so the point of this wasn't to brag. The point of this was to tell you that I have a new approach to Twitter that I'm taking, and if you'd like to help me with it, I would greatly appreciate it. I am done arguing.
Okay.
I'm done arguing. I'm done with it. If, first of all, the vast majority of arguments on Twitter are people who don't read my blog, read my two sentences next to my name, and then say, well, you never thought of this. Dude, you could have taken 5 minutes. My whole blog is a five-minute read.
Sure.
Like, each page is like a 30-second skim. Like, I didn't write, like, epic essays. I kept it short and sweet for that purpose. So you can just glance at it, get the idea, and then ask a real question. Like 99% of the questions that I have are answered on my website. So it's disrespectful at a certain point that people are bringing this nonsense to me. And I kind of thought of it as my job or my commitment or what I signed up for when I became almost a parody account. I'm so, you know, like driven with this goal. I thought that was what I was supposed to do, but you know what? I realized something, Maddie. There are two ways to handle each situation.
Lay it on me.
My new solution, and I'm encouraging all of my supporters to do this. I'm encouraging anybody who sees me in a battle or sees me post a podcast, simply take the argument the person is making and change it into a bad meme, post the bad meme, and then be done with the conversation. So like if somebody says, well, who would build the roads? Tell them, great point. I never thought of who will build the roads. And then have a meme of, you know, Eric July, who will build the roads. And that's it. That's all that we do to people from here on out. We have won, Maddie. The voluntarists have won. And our arguments are logical, they are sound, and the only time that they get beat down is either if they're presented by people who are, like, erroneously presenting the arguments, right? So they start arguing for, like, pedophilia and stuff. It's like, okay, well, nobody's on that page, and now you're making us look bad, trying to act like an immoral asshole, right? So that's my idea that I have that I'm going to try out. And basically, if you want to show me some respect, tag me in a bad meme and then mock crowdfunded government using a bad meme. So if anybody is ever in a battle, do a bad meme and leave them alone. If you ever want to pick on me because it's really funny, send me a bad meme and tag me. There will be no greater compliment that you can do to me than to take a dumb argument against me and make a really bad meme out of it. Because we're done, Maddie. We're done with seriousness. We're on to levity, accomplishment, and now, with this ending the third party thing, I am on to action. I am on to taking all of this political capital and throwing it at the political system. And a few of those people I know would be sympathetic to a crowdfunded government argument. So this is how I see myself moving forward. I see myself talking to a lot of politicians and organizers. I see myself just ignoring the haters and mocking them because I don't need to waste my time with you guys anymore. I'm too busy scheduling politicians to be on podcasts.
I like it. I can't promise you that I will deliver shitty memes to you.
Oh man, hey, listen, brother. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody. You're still my friend, even if you don't post a bad meme. But you got to admit, it would be really funny if you're looking at Twitter and you see a really bad argument and you make a meme and then just, you know, send over that meme to that person.
It's gonna
take their argument and just stuff it in their face.
Yeah, it's gonna be hilarious.
So that's what I'm looking forward to this summer. I'm looking forward to some spicy debates with some politicians trying to learn why they care about third parties. And I'm looking forward to spicy memes.
It's hot girl summer with crowdfunded government. I like it.
Oh, yeah, buddy. We jiggling all over the place this summer.
That's right.
Slow motion jiggles. Oh, yeah.
All right. So nice, man. I like the updates. This is great shit. This whole thing has been a plug, but fuck it. Plug away. Where can we find more information about voluntarily crowdfunding our government?
Oh, Maddie K, you know, I'm a tireless self-promoter. So thank you for allowing me to do that because a lot of people need to put me in my place. And I appreciate that you don't because other people do. So thank you. I like to just run with my crap for a while sometimes. You can find me, Theodore Quinoa, Executive Director, Crowdfunded Government Movement. You can find me at crowdfundedgovernment.com and, of course, at crowdfundedgov on Twitter. And I hope that if you like what you hear, you will send me a bad meme and make me look just really stupid in meme form. It would be the greatest compliment to take these and just send me your bad memes. Oh, I would appreciate it so much.
Well, we will do our level best. And again, everybody out there, yeah, if you see Theodore in a fight with somebody, meme that shit. Send it back to them, put it in their face. And podcasters or anybody else that listens and knows a candidate, please let me know. Let your favorite podcast know. Theodore wants to go not toe-to-toe, but shoulder-to-shoulder with them and kind of lead them down the proper path here of his vision that he sees for the future. So let's see if we make that happen for him, get him some more success. And y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your mom, tell your dad. Tell your voluntarist crowdfunded government guy down the road. We'll see y'all next week. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky tonk filled with one night stands. Take a telly on fire with a gonzo steel. And a dark house space just to seal the deal. Top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.